Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mitt's Coffee has offered premium roasts of world-class coffee to the upper Midwest for years. And as cold weather changes the tint of the Northwoods, Mitt's offers you Laughing Goose Blend Dark Roast, a coffee that will shake the cobwebs loose and lift you into your day's events. Laughing Goose is the perfect mix of strength and taste, like the mighty bird that gave it its name. There is no problem or challenge you can't soar over after three or four mugs of Laughing Goose. The strong, rich flavor of a dark roast, with the smooth drinkability of a medium blend. Strong, hot, straight from the pot. What more could you ask for on a crisp autumn morning? And of course, Mitt's still offers its full range of coffee blends, including Morning Dove Early Morning Blend for those who need a milder start to the day, Yodeling Loon Espresso, our strongest blend for a potent cup, and Whistling Wood Duck Medium Roast for those who like to keep a full pot on all day long.
Laughing Goose is yet another of the flavorful coffees offered by Mitt's House of Fine Roasting. Mitt's Coffee, the brew that flew with the Great Northwest.
From the glow of downtown St. Paul's famous number one, welcome to another edition of Cabin Country. Give us the time and we'll take you out of the traffic and away from the levee.
Let's find the place where the loons call out among moonlit waves, where the wind sighs among the Norway pines.
Pull up a dock chair, have a sip of your coffee, and get a line in the water. This is Cabin Country.
Now here's Bjorn Lloydstad and Fudd Klugman with another Woodland Escape.
Well, welcome back to Cabin Country. Now, Sue, not only being a professional in the voice actor world, you recently started your own podcast.
I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, I was looking for ways to sort of stay creative and tap into all my years live on the radio and then in the studio doing voiceover work. And thought, is there something I could do audio-wise? You know, you start your own radio show. That's a real heavy lift. Mm-hmm. And this was about 3 years ago when I started this thinking process. I thought, podcasts. We could do podcasts in our basements. You know, we don't have to be very expensive and that kind of thing. I knew nothing about how to create a podcast. I have a graveyard of demos of early ideas.
Sure.
And spent a really lot of money on one of them, in all studio time and paying actors good money and all this kind of stuff, and learned very quickly, well, I can't sustain that. So it ultimately, my need to sort of speak up and speak out about gender bias, mm-hmm. and societal norms, and it kind of asking, why is it that way? Oh, that's just the way it is, Sue. Well, why? And based on my own experience, I thought, oh, I'll start a podcast that's tackling those issues,
right?
And talk to women who I'm inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
I love TED Talks and books and articles about women who have sort of overcome obstacles. And so that was really cool. And then also deal with funny female writers, funny actor types, and wanting to do so, keep some sketch element involved, storytelling involved, satire. So I kind of put together this show called Island of Discarded Women.
Incoming! Daughter incoming!
Daughter incoming now!
Oh, where am I? You washed up.
Sorry?
Welcome to the island of discarded women, my friend.
I used to be somebody. Are you that woman on the radio?
Your island job is peladora de papas.
Sorry, what?
Potato peeler. 87% match for your skills.
Okay, that's not... Anyway, what is the second best match then?
Host of the island podcast.
Are you kidding me? No, no, see, that's me. That's perfect for me.
Originally it was going to be produced, recorded and produced. And then we were asked to do the Women's Expo in January of 19. Mm-hmm. And we did it live. Can you do it live? Yeah, we can do it live. It's like I've been doing live radio for 24 years. Right. And so we did it live. And I'm like, what was I thinking? And there's so much about it that's a little more streamlined, actually.
Right.
There's mm-hmm. not quite so much production values once we're live. And there's more mm-hmm. rehearsal leading right. into mm-hmm. it. And so I've assembled this amazing cast of women and who... A very diverse cast, an age, ethnicity, backgrounds. And then we've got a singer-songwriter who's a kid with an old soul because she comes mm-hmm. up with these amazing... she hasn't lived long enough to sing about some of the things that she sings about. So there's definitely an old soul there. Right. And she was writing a new song every month. We do it once a month. Mm-hmm. So we're live at a dinner club.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did that for almost a year. And we had moved from one club. We grew up that the capacity of that. We were selling out like 2 and 3 months in advance. Mm. So we moved to a bigger club, Crooners, in spring of 2020. And then, womp.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
we were shut down in after our March show. And so in the last year and a half, I've been producing what I call From Home episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interviewing my guest through Zoom. And our contributors are sending in stories, recording in their closets, recording in the interiors of their cars. Thank you very much. That was a Fred Newman prompt. Because, well, sometimes I just record in the interior of my car. I'm like, hey, I didn't think about that. Or their saunas, or sometimes they send me the first paragraph from 3 different closets. And I go, closet 2 was the good. That's the better sound. Do it in closet 2.
Tales from the closet.
And then I added more sound design with that. So I've taught myself a lot about editing and mixing and sound design, and yet we're still telling the story of amazing accomplishments that women have achieved, goals they're trying to achieve, heartaches, the questioning of why are men ageless and women are not, or why do we not have equal pay for equal work, or you know, those kind of things. But we also deal with other subjects, and we deal with timely subjects, and... it's been really fulfilling. It's a ton of work.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of creating a... I know this sounds really whatever, but it's sort of become a community
yeah.
more than
yeah.
just, oh, come see Sue and her friends do a live podcast. It's become kind of a community.
That's
we have
great.
A lot of yeah. Very, really loyal followers that come every week when we were live and write me emails. Since we've been doing the
right.
recorded episodes. So we're gearing up this fall to go live again.
Oh, that's great.
So that's all really exciting, kind of nerve-wracking and exciting. And so it's been a great way to use my skills that I already had and a great way to expand those skills. I will say one little side note. One of our first live shows, I did have some women afterwards say, why aren't you doing all your funny voices? That's why we love you, yeah. is you're doing your funny voices. And I went, oh, I'm sorry. I'm kind of doing some other things. Every right. once in a while, I do some little sketch, yeah. so satirical thing
yeah.
that might be
yeah.
a voice.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that's not the focus. And on one hand, it's like, well, I did do that, and now I'm doing something different.
Correct.
And I'm the host, but I'm kind of the spearheader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not the star of the podcast. I'm kind of the, you know, the coordinator. The facilitator, mm-hmm. the moderator. And yes, I do things in scripts, but I'm also just handing off to other amazing women. Okay, you do your story for 12 minutes now.
Right.
Now you do your story for 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want it to be all about me. And they were like, no, the only reason why we love you is because you do funny voices. And then her friend went, well, that's not the only reason. She realized it was so specific.
<you. laughs> Right.
And then that night I go home to my husband and I started singing, you know, the garden party, you know.
Right. Oh, right.
I went to a garden party because yeah. I thought, oh, maybe I can't do this. Maybe these people aren't going to be interested if I'm not doing quote unquote funny voices. And I thought, I have a mission. I have a need to speak up, and I want to hear what other people have to say. So we pushed through that. Right. And so that was an interesting little bit of a thing of, don't change what you used to do. Keep doing that thing.
Well, so, it can be kind of a curse, you know, when...
Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse.
But when you listen to your podcast, it's so clear that not only are you a great writer and you touch on the comedy that that people are familiar with, but you're interviewing, you know, with the stars you've had on. I listened to the great Anne Bancroft. I'm not talking about the actor.
I'm talking about the explorer.
The explorer, the first woman to trek across the North Pole. That was great, and there's just so many great interviews. I listened to it thinking, like, there's so much more to Sue Scott than we
I did not know if I had interview skills. We just kind of Roxanne Battle was my first our first trial. She was very willing to do it. I said, can I just try this with you? And she said, sure. So I didn't know. I didn't have my own. I sort of developed my own style, so to speak. Out of necessity, because I'm not a journalist. The very first time, one of the live shows, when a very, very gregarious guest was incredibly quiet on stage. I pre-interview everybody, because I want to find out more about them, and I also want to find out if there's anything that's too sensitive, or anything that's sensitive that I'm not bringing up that they would like to bring up. I pre-interview everybody, and super, super gregarious and super chatty, and that's happened with a few women. And then we get up in front of an audience, and I think they're just aware of the audience, or they're maybe trying to take care of the audience. Like, oh, the audience isn't into this, so I won't tell this long story. I'll tell it in one sentence. And I panicked. I was like, the first time that happened, I was like, oh, whoa, this is a 20-minute story when we talked earlier in the week, and now she's doing it in two sentences. It's like, and I'm thinking, I literally panicked. I just thought, and I'm here, we're live, and I mean, we're not broadcast live, of course, we're being recorded, but it's live for the audience. And I just didn't know what to do, so I prompted her. I said, you know, when you told me the story earlier, there was a thing that was really moving to me about that. And then she just, that became my thing. So now that's my thing, is I don't pretend that I've never talked to someone before.
Right.
I say, you know, when we were talking earlier, or last, you know, on the phone, you told me this, or we were chatting about, and that just because I thought, okay, was a safety valve, was my, you know, I mean, it was sort of like the safety net thing, and it's turned out to be a way that I can stay involved, and I don't have to say, how come you're not talking about the thing that you told me on the phone? I can just say, when on the phone you told me. Yeah. And they may be forgetting. But I do think there's something about, there's a little bit of a deer in headlights with the live audience. Yeah. And even when we're talking about Prairie Home, some of these big celebrities would come on and they would totally freeze up.
Yeah.
We won't name names. No. They know who they are. But they would totally be like,
Cindy Brady.
Cindy Brady.
Lights on the camera.
And you're thinking, so it was just, I mean, some of these women are like, broadcasters, and on my podcast.
Yeah.
But I do think there's something about live audience where there's a little bit of, you pick up the energy, and they're thinking, oh, well, I won't tell that whole story because they don't need to hear the whole story. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Tell it.
We're here to hear it.
And there'll be times when they go, the guests will say, oh, you don't want to hear the whole story. And I'll look at the audience and they'll go, yes, we do. They don't even know what they're going to hear, but they're they go, yeah, we do want to hear it. And they go, okay. So I've learned a ton, and it was sort of a very public way to learn. Mm-hmm. But what the heck, we get old enough. I'm old enough that they don't really care. On some levels, it's like, okay, if this doesn't work, I'll go find something else to do. Right. But this seems to be kind of working, and it's evolving. The podcast has gotten more, a little bit more serious over the pandemic year. Because we tried to do a Zoom comedy sketch with six of us, and it was a total disaster. It was a total disaster. And we had done some stuff with Garrison. We had done, Tim and I and
Unless
Fred.
You have an editor who can put the separate things together.
Well, we were going to even have that, but just it was like somebody's Wi-Fi was constantly freezing up, and somebody else was this and that. And I thought, let's not even try it again. So we went back, so we kind of let that go, which we have a lot of fun with those kind of things when we're live. Yeah. So some of the comedy is a little different. It's a little more satire. There's more commentary, and sort of little solo pieces, maybe.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to a little bit more of that when we get live. But I think there's something that's good about it. It's been a really important year. Painful, reckoning going on. We've got the racial reckoning. We've got all the lies we've lost with COVID. We've got all the, you know, all the unrest, both politically and everything. Yeah. And so I think attention must be paid. So I think the fact that the podcast got a little bit more meaningful, maybe more on the meaningful, more poignant level, was appropriate.
Right. Yeah.
Was appropriate. Well,
and funny voices or not, you've hooked me. I mean, it's a great show to listen to. So
yeah, way, again, with the thousands of podcasts that are out there, you know, anybody like those two guys on Cabin Country, you know,
yeah.
Like anybody just love picks those up guys.
Mic and think
love
they can broadcast like
Bajorn and Fudd. What the, you know, whatever. What the heck? But these other people have something to say.
No, but yeah, I was going to say your podcast. It's like, well, you were like born to do it. You were trained to do it. I mean, not only the way you can perform your funny voices, but you're able to interview and mix and everything. It's like just a really top notch.
Well,
production, so it stands out as like a podcast you should check out for many reasons. Right. So,
thank you.
The Island of Discarded Women.
Oh yeah, I'll let you say it. Go ahead, you say it.
The Island of Discarded Women.
That's outstanding.
And then the podcast website is islandofdiscardedwomen.com.
Yes,
that was a plug.
Versus what you used to have to say, that nobody could say. And I'm not even going to try it. So,
What's that?
Biscuitata water quadrimagum.
Well, just
absolutely.
One last note on like on podcasting in general, the new sort of thing, podcasting compared to the old days of radio. What, with your long experience, what do you think of all that? What do you think of this new? I mean, obviously you're trying it, giving it a go, and it's working for you. But how do you compare your experience with radio and commercial work with podcasting now? What are some of the things?
Well, I'll just jump in real quick because I want to turn this over to Tim. But the thing about podcasting, and partly because we're trying to be a live show, is I'm more concerned. My focus has always been getting butts in the seats kind of thing.
Yeah.
And selling tickets. And it's sort of like, oh, yeah, I should be working at trying to get more listeners. But they come.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that I feel like I could learn a lot more about is how to get more listeners.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the $64,000 question to talk about the old days.
We haven't gotten those.
And
64,
I don't, you know, and then some podcasts just take off.
Yeah.
And you go, huh, really? That one? Okay. Maybe not just my cup of tea, maybe. But, you know, they're just like, oh, my God, these kids, these teenagers, they were doing this for 2 weeks, and now they've got 5 million listeners. You go, wow, okay.
Yeah.
So I don't have that right now. And I have this, like I said, this dual focus because I want to get the audience back and get back to the audience live at eating and drinking while they're listening to the podcast.
Right.
So I'm open to suggestions. I don't know if you or Don or anybody have suggestions on how to get more listeners.
How do you go from 15 listeners to 2 million? I don't know what the magic is.
Do you know any serial killers? Because that seems to be...
Real true crime is a big thing.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, we will never, ever do that. We're different. Yeah. That's that.
Yeah.
There just seems to be a lot of, two people talking about their...
The shoes they bought. Talking about shoes, we were talking about the bird songs. They talk about the shoes. I bought these shoes. They were super cute. I guess we should talk about our theme, which has nothing to do with shoes. And we parody sometimes that. I have parodied that on the podcast.
Okay.
But I do think that there is, you know, kind of what hits, what doesn't, the timing. I don't know.
Who listens to podcasts? What age group?
I don't know what the formula is. I was told by some friends in the biz. In fact, one of the guys, Chris Bannon, he has his own podcast network. He used to be our PR person on Prairie Home in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Then he worked at WNYC, and he started he's a big podcast mogul.
Oh.
And if you're listening, Chris, I'm talking about you, buddy. I'm talking about you. Anyway, he was advising me a little bit early on, especially when we were live with Island of Scarlet Women. And he said, I think you're trying to do too much.
Oh.
I think the satire is strong. I think the storytelling is strong. The interviews are good, too. I wouldn't do them in one podcast. Podcast listeners don't like a lot of variety. And this was 2 years ago. And I just said, I'm not going to do that. I want to do all those things. And then he said, however, I applaud you for doing your own thing, trying to create your own formula.
Trailblazing.
And being creative. So having said, I wouldn't do that. It's mixing too many elements. Mm-hmm. I like that you're trying to do your own thing and go for it. So, but I just thought, no, I don't want to just be an interview show. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to just be a comedy show because, like I said, that's more expensive, as it turns out. And the problem with comedy, especially social satire, and if it bridges on sort of timely events, well, then by the time you mix and edit it, 2 weeks later, 2-3 weeks later, maybe even 4 weeks later, depending on what the schedule is, that's not in the news anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way with the earlier iteration of this podcast when we were in studios. It's like by the time we finished editing, we were like 3 months later, that wasn't funny anymore. The thing that we spent all that time and energy doing that was so funny and so timely.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, we need to be careful about that. Mm. So anyway, there's challenges.
Yeah.
To trying to have some sort of pulse on what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm aware of what's going on around you.
Aware of what's going on, but try to keep it more sort of universal. And we don't bellyache all the time. We're getting a lot into more personal stories, and the personal stories to me are from the cast are golden.
Right.
They're just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank I you love for it, and we that. Wish you luck. Oh,
thank you. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
it. On great and growing success. But before you go, Tim's gonna stay with us because he's been rather silent. And
it's Tim's turn.
It's Tim's turn, but Sue's gonna have to take off. But one last question we had for you, kind of a Minnesota thing. You migrated up here to Minnesota years ago. Yeah. What keeps you in Minnesota?
They're just the community, the friends. I met my husband here. He's very ingrained in the theater fabric. He runs his own theater company in St. Paul. And I live two blocks from Tim. You know, Tim and I used to carpool a lot to airports or to St. Paul, whatever, and people would go, are you married? And I would say...
No, this is my dad.
I would say... Yeah, exactly. I would say, no, that's my dad. I would say... I would typically say, yes, we are, to other people.
Yeah.
And it would cut to get to this thing like, I knew... We are married.
Well, that makes sense. Wasn't that wonderful?
Because like, we're getting out of the same car a lot. Well, he lives two blocks away, so it's convenient. And we're saving the environment.
Right. Well, there you go.
Exactly. Right. And, what was the question? I'm sorry, Don. Can you rewrite
that? Why Minnesota?
Yeah. Oh, so why Minnesota? Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is just home now. I mean, I'm so used to the sea. I mean, it took a while to get used to all the change of seasons and the bitter cold. But now it's like, Tucson only has like hot and hotter,
right?
You know, and sunny, 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 or monsoon rains.
Right. Yeah,
and there's nothing in between. There's like 338 days a year of sun.
Oh my gosh!
My mother used to wake up every day, go, look, it's a gorgeous sunny day, Mom. It's sunny every day.
Another one.
Here comes.
I know,
the
but she go, but she go, but it's another one. Oh. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's always sunny.
We're going to take a short break and say our goodbyes to the wonderful Sue Scott, but we'll be back shortly with the fabulous Tim Russell right after this.
Paul and Walleye Speed and Marine Gas reminds you to visit our gas dock in these late days of summer. Our boat dock is still open, and we're ready to fill your tank. While many have taken out both lift and boat by this point, scores of our adventuresome neighbors are still taken to the water. Fall fishing is some of the best you can get, and nothing beats casting towards structure under the autumn leaves. For those who are not done with boating yet, a reminder that Daisy the dock dog will come down to visit you when you fill your gas can or inboard tank. Our happy hound will join you dockside, and you'll know she'll be wearing her prize pockets vest. Yes, sir. With every fill-up, you get a chance to choose a token from one of the pockets on Daisy's bright orange vest. And as she wags her tail, you'll discover what you've won. A brown token tells you you've won a dozen leeches. A blue token indicates you've won a dozen shiners or light pike minnows, depending on our current stock. And a gold token? Well, that gold token means you get to pick out one of this season's lures that are still on the shelves as of early fall. From weedless to spoons to top floaters, they're all up for grabs if you pick a gold token from Daisy's vest. Atta girl. Yes, we still have full service oil to fuel mixing at the dock for smaller outboards, and you can always tie off at one of our service docks if, nature calls or your stomach is rumbling. We've got all the popular snacks the kids love, as well as a full range of smoked fish and jerky from Al the Harbor Master. And we're open all year with cold beer and soda or hot coffee, depending on what you'd prefer. We proudly brew Mitt's Coffees and feature 6 and 12 packs from all the local microbreweries. We always have beer from the big names as well. Yeah, Daisy likes the big names. Make the best of this autumnal boating and angling season. Tie off at Haulin' Walleyes and dig deep in Daisy's prize pocket vest. You'll be glad you did.
And now the real stories of the Cabin Country Outdoors agents. Tonight, episode 4, Red Sails in the Sunset.
It had gotten late enough that I decided not to bother the Bensons with the news. The recent development was that they didn't have a bear bothering their trash. They had a giant mother raccoon raising a litter of kits in the upstairs confines of their garage. The mother raccoon was raiding the trash when other food wasn't readily available. She was large enough that in low light or twilight, she could be mistaken for a smallish to average-sized bear. I didn't think less of Red Benson for his mistake. Anyone could have made it. The next day, Sunday, dawned clear and comfortable, and I headed out to the Clamshell Lake area to report my findings to the Bensons and Jim Galligan. I arrived at 8 o'clock and was impressed with my colleagues' work to see that they'd already been to the Benson place and that the culvert trap was already gone. It appeared that agency officers hadn't woken the neighborhood with their presence, and all was calm. A knock or two on the Benson back door brought out Red. I let him know the status of our situation. Morning, Red. Hope I'm not too early. I've got some news for you.
No, I was up. I'm used to early morning tea times with my guys. Guess the old body clock forgot that we didn't have a tea time this morning.
Well, I hope the agency guys didn't wake you this morning with the removal of that trap.
Oh, good. You got him, then.
No, Red. It isn't a bear.
Come again?
I sat vigil last night in Jim's driveway. You don't have a black bear raiding your trash. I wondered. The absence of bear scat around your place seemed odd to me. Where black bears raid, they usually leave a calling card, if you follow. I've seen my share of poorly behaved black bears in all sorts of animal-human interactions. Your scenario just didn't seem to have any of the telltale signs. No, what I saw last night may calm you on one hand and concern you on another.
What are you talking about, Torgy?
Well, I sat in the cab of the truck looking out for your bear. The noises began, then the movement. You got a big female raccoon, Red, and it gets better.
Torgy?
Looks to me like she's got a nursery of raccoon kits in your garage. She artfully raided that culvert trap like a jewel thief. Then she climbed that red oak next to your garage and disappeared under the overhang. I'm guessing you've got an accessible opening in your soffit vents somewhere up there. She climbed the tree, got near your garage, and vanished. We can get her and the kits out. You and Betty have a discussion ahead of you.
Come again?
Well, to move the family now is an option. It may cause some survival problems for those kits, however, relocating after a couple of weeks in their nest.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I want them gone, but I don't think I want them dead. Are they damaging anything up there, Torgy?
I doubt it, Red. Or maybe I should say whatever damage they've done is already done, if you follow me. Talk with Betty. They can't cause much more of a problem at this point. Once they move out, we've got some suggestions for you. Job one, of course, is to shore up your soffit and fascia all along the garage roof overhang. Anyway, why don't you talk with Betty and let me know what you want. I'd gone back to the office and started work on reports concerning the Bensons and their raccoon issue. From my desk at the agency, I watched the traffic out on 371. I wondered what we'd hear from the Bensons, and how Jim Galligan would weigh in on this. A raccoon is an annoyance to some, but generally not the same problem as an unwanted bear. The captain stopped by my desk.
Some bear issue you had out there at Clamshell, eh, Torgy?
Yeah. A raccoon family and a need for garage repair. It's too bad we spent the money on hauling out the new culvert trap, Skip.
That's why we have the trap, Torgy. That's why we have agents on payroll. We were doing our job the best way possible. At the end of the day, the good people of Clamshell Lake are safer for it. What do you hear from the homeowners?
Nothing yet, Captain. I'd barely gotten the words out when the phone rang. Red Benson.
Torgy, I just talked the situation over with Betty over our second round of morning coffee. She's a softie, Torgy. She doesn't want us to break up that raccoon's happy home until the kits have moved on. I'm just curious, Torgy, what does the agency suggest we do once they move out?
Well, Red, job one is to get a ladder and clean up your rafter area where the raccoons have made their nest. Job two, seal up your garage. Do the job yourself or contract it, but get your overhang free from entry points for any and all wildlife. When they're gone, Red, put down some rags soaked in ammonia.
Won't smell great for a while, but it'll override the smell of the raccoons and also repel them. Raccoons hate that smell. That and a lack of any entry point should keep you raccoon-free for the foreseeable future. If you really want to seal the deal, cut down that red oak. It's a freeway to the overhang of your garage for all kinds of critters.
Well, those are all good suggestions, and we'll follow them, Torgy. I'm not excited about taking down a mature oak, though. But we've got several on the property. And one more thing, Torgy.
Red?
We could use more firewood.
Be sure to join Officer Torgy Torgerson in the next exciting episode of Real Adventures of the CCOA, right here on Cabin Country. This program is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are either products of the author's imagination or are used fictitiously. Any similarity to actual events, locations, or persons living or dead is entirely coincidental.
Welcome back to Cabin Country. Now we've got Tim Russell here.
Tim
solo.
Russell, yes indeed.
Because Sue had to scurry off with her busy schedule. But
right.
But we can focus on a couple of things. We're anxious to hear somewhat about the olden days with WCCO. You went to Brown Institute, right, in Minneapolis?
Yeah, actually I was at University of Minnesota Law School.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I was there for about 6 months and said, this is not going to be fun. I mean, unless... Unless you wanted Jimmy Stewart to do a case, you know, I just didn't know what to do with it. So I dropped out of that. And I had done voices in grade school. And
sure.
Okay. I watched all the late night talk. I was the only kid probably at Nativity that watched Jack Parr every night.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming in bleary eyed the next day.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to get into that kind of a business, but I was so shy that I didn't think that was a possible thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I went to Brown to get my first class radio license, mm-hmm. which you don't need anymore, of course. But I fortunately got a job down in Dubuque, Iowa, and went down there, and that's where I met my wife, Judy.
Yep.
So that was all good things.
Right.
I was there for 2 years and ended up doing an afternoon drive time show there at WDBQ. And then WCCO-FM was just starting to go full blast at 100,000 watts. And they didn't have a staff or anything, so I sent an application that Judy helped me put together,
mm-hmm.
and a demo tape.
Yep, absolutely.
And they called me up and said, you know, you're our guy, so come up and do mornings. And I started in 1973 at WCCO-FM at the top of the Pick Nicollet Hotel at the time.
Yeah.
Wow. We were there for about 6 months and then moved over to 11th Street. And we had a great staff, and it was really a fun FM station, 102.9. We had free reign to play whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
We're given a choice of many albums. It was album-oriented,
okay.
A lot of deep tracks.
Right.
Oh, really?
Right.
And I would do stuff. I would play comedy every once in a while. I'd play an old Albert Brooks cut or, you know, Bob and Ray. And then I'd play Rhapsody in Blue sometime. I needed 17 minutes to go to the restroom.
Right.
So that was a really fun show. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I teamed up with Carl Lensgraf, the late, great Carl Lensgraf, and we did something called The Rude Awakening.
Mm-hmm. Rude Awakening.
Carl and Tim's Rude Awakening asking you, boys and girls, if you know what that special theme music means. Well, of course it means a visit with Mr. Codgers, radio programming consultant.
I saw a look of bewilderment among the audience.
Well, they didn't know that you were here, but he is an expert, boys and girls, and that's why he's here, because we badly need the help.
Yes, and you know, I've just got a message for the listener today.
A message for the listener?
Yes, I can't promise you the best radio show you've ever heard. Just better than the one you're listening to right now.
Well,
you know, radios are everywhere.
Sure, there are radios all over, Mr. Codgers.
That's right. They're being heard right now in drugstores and elevators and on cable TV. And you know what really kind of bugs me?
What bugs you?
They also put radios in stuffed animals.
Do they?
So actually at this very moment we're being heard through a raccoon's belly. Kind of a disconcerting thought, don't
you? It is.
You?
I never
Can you
really
say disconcerting?
Discus.
I realize it's a lot of syllables, but
well, it's
give the call letters.
Mr. Cottagers, you've done it again at FM 103.
That was excellent.
And we did that for a couple of years, and then I went over to WCCO AM in 83 and teamed up with Ruth Kozlak and did a mid-afternoon show 1 to 3, and it was another great time. I've had mostly teamed up with people, except into the early 90s when I was had my own mid-morning show,
right,
9 to noon. And it was basically a lot of interviews, and at that time, everybody came to town. And it was, you know, you got to meet Werner Klemperer,
wow, you know, Colonel Twink,
Shirley Temple,
yeah, you
know, Douglas wow. Fairbanks Jr. Wow. I mean, these people would come into the studio and share memories of usually promoting a book that they'd just written about their life and showbiz or politics, you know, get Dan Rather in.
Yeah.
It was really fun. It was, it was very informative. And then I went to KJO 104 Classic Country for a year.
Okay.
And then KLBB for another year with teamed up with Joyce Lamont.
Joyce Lamont.
The queen of Twin Cities Radio.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She did her famous recipes show.
Absolutely.
And Best Buys.
Walk down memory lane. Yeah. You bet.
Then I went to Prairie Home Companion in 94.
Okay.
And at the same time, I was working there. And in 97, I went back to WCCO AM and did mid-mornings with Patty Peterson. And then I ended up doing the morning show as the entertainment editor with Dave Lee.
Okay.
And did bits all the way through. We did bits, you know.
Right.
Character voices. And edit. So radio was a fun, fun job.
And at you know, the time of this podcast, Dave Lee just retired a few months ago in May, I think, or April, after 32 years himself. And so I was reading a little bit about that. It's kind of the end of an era. They haven't even found a replacement for him. And it's all news now. It's no more. I think Dave himself was quoted as saying, like, yeah, they've moved out of comedy sketches for the morning shows, that kind of thing. So
everybody wants to be serious all the time.
Well, what fun is that?
No, I really liked radio as an entertainment vehicle. Because it kind of opens up your imagination.
Yeah.
And that's what made old-time radio interesting. That's what made Prairie Home Companion interesting.
Absolutely.
You could visualize things. And you weren't limited by what you could get on camera. You, you could have a sound effects guy recreate.
Yeah.
As Stan Freberg used to talk about, you know, you could have a plane dropping maraschino cherries in the It was all up to the sound effects.
Right, right. And you know, the human mind allows for that.
Yeah, you know? It really does,
That's the beauty of it. I remember thinking, maybe you were the same, Tim. Somebody asked me at one point in high school where I had absolutely, no, you were going to be a lawyer and I was going to be a rock star and then I was going to be a pro soccer player. And then reality kicked in and I said, I have no idea. How do I get paid to talk? Because I love to talk and I love to talk to other people. And they said, well, Einstein, have you looked into radio? You
know? Yeah.
No, not yet, but I'm going to, you know. And,
two of my brothers actually went to Brown, and one went to Tomahawk, Wisconsin for a time and did a tiny radio station there. Another brother went to St. Cloud, but they didn't last forever. So I don't know, Tim, it seems like, well, I think your talent just opened up more doors to make a real career out of it than I got to think a lot of people go into radio or went in radio, and it just they ended up not being like some of these guys now making millions of dollars for being the morning show,
right?
I don't know, but.
Well, I was blessed to be working in the time of great advertising, first of all.
Sure.
The Twin Cities was home to probably four of the biggest ad agencies in the country.
Really?
Okay. And there was so much work here. That's what brought all the great actors to come to the Guthrie to do, you know, they could make a career here.
Right.
Huh. And so that's where my real career was, doing voiceovers for radio and television. And that kept us occupied through the whole day. You know, you'd get off the air in the morning and off and running, maybe doing 5-6 commercials a day, you know.
Oh, really?
And at the time, the union was strong.
Sure.
There was no non-union situation. Mm-hmm. I've worked on union stations and for union shows all my life, which has left me with a nice pension. And so those are the good old days.
Right.
The good old days,
right. You don't find that anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's time to kind of segue into the cabin country. We
Wilds.
Preparing for the show, you were kind enough to send us some photos of a cabin that you went to in Nisswa, you know, on Lower Cullen Lake.
Jumping off the dock, looking ecstatic as a young man, about ready to hit the water.
Did you notice I was wearing footies?
I did not see that. I didn't.
Maybe that was another picture, but I was kind of afraid of crawfish and other things. That
leeches.
Well, I still
leeches.
Am.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah. Right?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That big northern pike that might be looming around the dock.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. But now my great-grandfather, George Lennon, grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin, and moved here in the 1800s and started his own haberdashery, Lennon and Gibbons in St. Paul.
Wow.
And then bought the St. Paul Saints when it was part of the American Association.
Right.
From Wrigley. And he eventually became president of the American Association, but he ran the club till about 1916.
Okay.
He sold Miller Huggins to the New York Yankees for $25,000 or something, which was a monstrous amount at the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he became a famous player for the early Yankees and coach then.
Yeah.
And he helped populate Lexington Park over on University in Lexington. So he decided to build a place up north on Lower Cullen, as you mentioned. And in fact, in a number of locations in Nisswa, he built the Nisswa Beach Resort, which is now a park kitty corner from downtown Nisswa. And this property, all of my aunts and my uncle and our family would go up there. And it's like any other family in Minnesota. If you've got a place to go, it's just all memories. All
right.
The time. Mm-hmm, we'd pack up the station wagon and a trailer in the back and go up there for a month with our bikes.
Absolutely.
And our fishing gear just made the most out of it. It was you just never forget those days at the cabin.
Right. How big a town was Nisswa back at those?
Well, it's early pretty
days?
Much the same Main Street, and it had Eva Moran's nightclub, and it had Martin's Standard gas station, and it had Akri Bakery, and the Spotlight, which is a club,
like a dance club, possibly.
It's a dance hall.
Yeah.
That my great grandfather helped build, and he. Had a turkey farm over on Nisswa, which is now the Quarter Deck Resort.
Wow.
Did I say Nisswa? I meant Gull Lake.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Over
yes.
in Gull Lake, yeah.
Okay.
So he was really a part of the community up there. But he built this fabulous place full of stickly furniture and Navajo rugs and all the stuff you just die for if you saw the picture.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I just have, you know, I just try to recreate that feel where we're living at the time. It was just memorable. And then we did a lot of fishing. We went up through the channels, and sometimes we had to portage, basically, a boat through the channel, the Middle Cullen and then Upper Cullen. Upper Cullen was the Wild West where you could really go for the big northern. My most memorable fishing adventure, though, was one night at about 11 o'clock, and I was probably 12 at the time, I got in the rowboat with a 15-foot bamboo pole and went over to the lily pads across the way and started just tossing in. I don't know what I used for bait, but I got a hit, and it was, it seemed like a giant hit. And I struggled with the bamboo pole, didn't have to reel it in or anything, but I pulled it up and it was flopping around in the boat, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I started rowing back to the dock, and at the same time this fish was making all sorts of intestinal distress sounds.
Oh no.
Which was humorous and scary at the same time.
Right.
In the dark.
And we finally got back to the dock, and I pulled this thing out. It was a dogfish.
Okay. Oh. I was going to say, did you have an eel pout, or was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically an eel pout, which looks prehistoric. You know,
yes.
It's got the one big dorsal fin.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
And
bow fin.
Yeah. And I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
But it was probably, 10 pounds or something.
Wow.
That was great.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I alerted the family, and we all kind of ran down and were amazed at this fish.
Yeah.
But that's about the only whopper I caught. Although in high school, I went to a camp up in Lake Cabotogama, which was run by a teacher at my high school.
Okay.
And we went to a lake called Crane Lake, and we all fished from the shore. And I'm telling you, we caught dozens of huge northern, huge for us.
They were
about 15 pounds.
That's bigger than any northern I've ever pulled.
Exactly. It was really north country. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's our Judy came up years later, and we did a portage into one of those lakes, and she's the one, of course, who caught everything.
That's the way it goes. Yeah.
We had a teacher for a guide,
Sure.
Who was not only a teacher, but a teacher as a guide. So.
Right. And so, from your high school.
When we were growing up, but from high school, that was the great memories, staying in the cabins.
Yeah.
Learning things we shouldn't have learned.
And so you'd spend months at a time in summers there?
Up in Nisswa, we spent a month every summer. Basically.
Oh, okay. Guaranteed.
And I went up one time in the winter. The caretakers up there, it was big enough so it had caretakers. They invited me up, and I got on a bus, and I was, maybe 12, 13 at the time then, too. We did ice fishing, and I can't recommend that for everybody.
I was going to say, how much ice did you catch?
Yeah, exactly. It's way too cold. I like
got
summer
really
fishing.
Sloppy frying and stuff. Yeah. It was crazy.
Tell us more about the cabin itself. Like, how many people could it fit? Yeah, like how?
Well, there was a... This was all when my distant family had money. I'm reminding everybody that that's all gone now. but he built this magnificent cabin up there, which has been beautifully refurbished by a young couple and their family. And they've asked for films and photographs, and they put it together beautifully, like I remember.
Hmm.
But that was the upper cabin that we didn't go up to too much. The lower cabin... was kind of long and one-story, although it had this wonderful French set of French doors and all these French windows, multi-mullioned windows that would open up.
Mm-hmm.
And then a double staircase that would go down to a porch, and the porch had the roll-down canvas shades that you could button up for the storms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was filled with wicker furniture. And like I say, my great-grandfather somewhere along the way came back from the West loaded up with these wool Navajo-style rugs.
Absolutely.
And a wonderful kitchen, a big eating porch, and it probably had four or five bedrooms on the end of the cabin, one master bedroom.
And the porch, Tim, was it screened in? So
it was screened in,
That's kind of critical.
We'd hear
in
the
great state of Minnesota.
Storms coming in from the West. We'd go outside,
roll down the
made by... Holm is the name of the company.
I see. Holm. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So it's more information than you probably needed.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. It really sets
a picture. And then we had the boathouse, and that's where my brothers and I slept.
Mm-hmm.
In the boathouse.
In the boathouse with no facilities. Well. So one or two too many soft drinks at night, then we'd have to figure out a way to take care of that, which involved the stair landing. And for me, being afraid of Wolverines or whatever, I just opened the window and used the screen, which left kind of a nasty,
I was going to say,
rusty.
Why are these screens all
trail?
Rusty?
Yeah, exactly.
But after all, it's just the boathouse.
But from there, when the storms would roll through or the train would go across, next to Highway 371 would go across. You could hear it across the lake in the middle of the night, haunting. Yeah.
I love that sound.
It was great.
Love that sound. Wow. Fudd, you've recorded it many times as it crosses the
It crosses the Gull River, just a mile upriver.
It just,
every time I'm up there, I get a new recording of it.
Well, time stands still. You hear that, and nothing matters anymore.
Yeah.
We got to
that and loons.
Interview my my Uncle Joe, who's the, he's 91. He's the oldest
licensed steam engine engineer
in Minnesota right now, because he knew the previous guy that held that title.
And that guy passed away.
So there's always been a romantic association with the sound of the train echoing across the water. So it sounds like you had that at Lower Cullen.
We do. And actually, we have it here where we're living. It's
just
not far away. There's a train that rolls through.
I
still
love that.
Get the sound.
It kind of reminds me that we're touring your house, which is just a wonderful place. You're quite a collector of antiques. You and your wife have been, I imagine, for years.
Yeah, but that's all as a result of this experience I described, being up in these cabins.
Wanting to make it feel like
feel like
the cabin you went to as a young man.
Exactly. So that sort of prompted the way we shopped at estate sales.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Garage sales.
Well, I was doing the same with our basement in Highland. We've got knotty pine down there. It was built back in the 30s, 40s, 40s, I guess. And various, let's make the place a little more modern. Well, we're going to whitewash all that knotty pine. That kind of hurt.
Yeah. And then, but I now get, you can see.
Well, which is great. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then there was a cabinet they built out of cedar in the furnace room to just put winter coats in, and the cedar will repel the moths and everything. And I was given free rein to use the last of my acrylic paints before I switched to oil. I painted this big, from a photo of our old cabin, what the shore looked like going down Daggett Lake. So I painted all that, a good 7-foot painting of, it looks like you're going to walk right into the shore in a cabin that no longer exists. And now we're getting ready to possibly put the thing on the market. I've been handed the can of white paint and the roller already.
Oh, no.
All the time and love you put into that, your walk back into, you've got your rugs and your collections, and, yeah. I'm back at the cabin, and I go downstairs, and, Daggett Lake. Right.
I get Sorry, to Van Gogh. Yeah. It's got to go.
Yeah, every Van Gogh must go as we roll over your old cabin experience. I keep thinking, what if we sell it to someone who wishes it was still there?
Exactly. Yeah,
but
they'll have to start over.
We're going to meet those people, so yeah, I get to whitewash it.
So you did some fishing, and so what you said about 1962 is when your great grandfather sold the place, or your parents did?
My great grandfather passed away in the 40s, but my grandfather sold it along with a company that he had up here. He lived in California at the time.
Oh, okay.
And did I mention the name Lennon? That was my mother's name was Lennon, and so I'm related to the Lennon sisters, for those of you of a certain age.
Indeed.
You bet. Who remember the fabulous Lennon sisters.
Lovely song, Lennon sisters.
Lawrence Welgum.
We call on the lovely Lennon sisters for a hit song of the past year, More.
More than the greatest love the world has known.
And they are fabulous, too.
Yeah.
They're really great. We've had them up here a few times.
Nice.
And it's been a joy. Their younger brothers are in a spectacular group called Venice, if anyone wants to Google that. Venice the Band.
Okay.
They have probably 10 albums, and they are really, really good.
Huh.
Incredible harmonies.
I have to remember.
They all live in California.
Got it.
So, at any rate, I don't know where I was going with that. But.
Venice is probably not on the Lawrence Welk reruns, sadly.
No.
I guess.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
Larry Hooper and Venice.
No one else could love you more.
Well, I think we're heading at the sale of the cabin. That you
cabin was sold.
That's right. The cabin was sold, so we started to search for places that could give you the same feel, and that means visiting a lot of resorts around the North Country.
Right. Kind of a labor of love.
Labor of love. The North Shore we'd go to every year.
Absolutely.
Lost Lake Lodge was a wonderful place to go. It's still there as a resort of multiple cabins that have been spiffed up quite a bit. A lot of new ones up there, and they have a great view. That's on the Gull Narrows, they call it, between I think Roy Lake and Gull Lake.
Okay. And you probably see exactly where that is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just half a mile from where the new Bar Harbor is, basically.
Okay.
The old Bar Harbor burned down, and there was a place called the Rainbow Club, I think, on 371, which was right across from the Sportsman Cafe, which I think is closed now, but there was Jimmy's grocery store, and the Gull Lake Drive-In was not too far away.
Mm.
Okay.
So, anyway.
There was a Sportsman Cafe in Cross Lake, too, and it was one of those places that was open to the locals all year round.
Yeah.
And those few times we'd brave the cold and go up in January or February to open up the place and see if it was okay. with no bathroom.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we'd go in, and we talk about that on the show. You'd walk into the Sportsman, and everybody there had their own stool, and it was almost like an episode of Cheers or something. Right? Every neck turned around and looked at you. And they were friendly people, you know, but it was just sort of, and then there was kind of the murmur of cabin people. Yeah, right. You're right. We're cabin people. Here for a cup of coffee in the bathroom, and then we'll probably go back to the cities. But
would you ever thought of I'm going to build or not build, but maybe find a cabin to own? Or did you just think, no, we'll just travel?
At one time, we found a log cabin built in the 30s. It had an outbuilding, a bunkhouse, own log cabin.
Yeah,
and that was in northern Wisconsin. On Tabor Lake, which is part of a big chain up there. And we put a bid on it, and we were outbid by not too much.
Yeah.
I think it sold for $59,000 or something.
Okay.
And then about 3 years later, the realtor wrote back and said, remember that cabin? It could be yours for $275,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks. Sure it could. Yeah. In some other universe.
But we love traveling to new places all the time. So. Okay. The idea of having one place now that you're strapped to and have to take care of the roof and get the mice out in the spring.
Mow the yard and take the dock out, put the dock back in.
That's right.
And, it's a little... my lovely wife. That's thankfully she chalked me off the ledge. I went into a major motive. I got to replace that cabin. My kids are young. I've got to replace that. It was such a formative experience, you know, and we all share that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the financial planner said, you're in the wrong line of work, my friend. You're not going to do that anytime soon unless your cabin's a very large tent, you know. Yeah. And then part B, I just remember she kept saying to me, look, we can go different places and enjoy it, and then we get to leave. Mm-hmm. And all the upkeep and all the maintenance is on somebody else. And over the years, I've really begun to appreciate that wisdom because, boy, you're right. I mean,
something to be said.
There is. And to see so many different places. You know, there's so many lodges and resorts here in Minnesota I have yet to even set foot in. I'd love to see. What's the brilliantly painted lodge way up north?
Burnside Lodge on Burnside Lake near Ely.
Yeah.
Allegedly where they filmed or at least photographed the original Hams.
The commercials?
Boom, boom.
Yeah, huh. Bear. Yeah.
Where you see the sparkling waters.
Sure.
That's a wonderful, wonderful place that's, pricey now.
Yeah. I'm probably not saying it right, but isn't there
Nanibuju.
Nanibuju. Yeah.
We went there 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That was a bucket list place for us.
Yeah.
And this
beautiful
is
beautiful paint job on the
this
inside.
Is a place on the way to Grand Marais and then a little bit past Grand Marais.
Yeah.
On the way to Thunder Bay. And they have the big lodge, which has this incredible dining room with Cree Indian motif painting all through this entire room. And it is spectacular.
Yeah. It's really I've seen some photographs. And I feel like maybe, I don't think I've ever been there. I know I've seen pictures.
You got to go there someday and just go for
gorgeous.
Lunch.
Yeah. It looks
really
amazing.
Really terrific.
And I hear a lot about Grand Marais. I've driven through it on the way to Thunder Bay.
Yeah, Grand Marais a good stop too.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
A lot of places like that have these boutique hotels now.
Right.
You want to live it up.
Well, in your antique collecting, Tim, did you ever want to get an old Hams beer light? You know, with the moving,
those
rippling water.
Both and I are fans.
I've
of
seen
the,
many,
the
many of those. When I first got an apartment in Dubuque, Iowa, I went to the local beer distributorship and said, "Have you got any signs?"
Yeah.
So I had all these kind of fancy plastic signs that they'd give to the distributors and or the retailers. And so that was my idea of decorating back then.
I think we had a similar decorator. I was a beer light collector for a while and worked in a couple restaurants they had the stuff and they'd be done with it and they'd just stick it in the back closet. And I'd say, this place is about to go under. You're not going to miss that light. Yeah, I had all these lights and then they went away too. Somebody told me we didn't have room for them anymore.
Oh well,
so we don't.
Well, it's good that Tim, you and your wife share a love of antiques.
A passion for things past. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
So you can buy. Do you ever run into that kind of like, isn't this great? And the other says, no. But but given the amount of fascinating junk stuff you have. What? I didn't say that.
No, I think it's outstanding.
Yeah.
Now, we're of a like mind. I don't recall really thinking. We seem to like the same things. Mm. So, which is makes it for a long marriage.
Well,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Well, thanks so much for
my gosh,
opening up your home wonderful to us stories, so we could be here in person. Home. His wife Judy made sure we were well fed, and the coffee was kept
caffeinated, and you know us with the mixed coffee.
Lutefisk and snooze.
we made sure to swallow the Lutefisk before we chewed the snooze. Exactly. Nobody swallowed their snooze.
It's one of the rules.
That's right.
Stavanger.
Many have said they'd, after smelling Lutefisk, they'd prefer to eat the snooze. So,
oh my gosh.
I think they're probably accurate.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting us and inviting me.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute. I have. I thought if I asked for one impersonation, I would ask for Johnny Carson.
Could you? Johnny Carson. I'd like to leave that to Kevin Spacey, but he's not available right now.
That's awesome.
Somebody somewhere is yelling, "You are correct, sir." So. Yeah.
Yes, you are correct, sir.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for all the time, Tim. This was a real investment of your time.
It was a real
treat. Appreciate it. And I think our audience is all the better for it. So,
yes, indeed.
A big thanks to Tim Russell and, of course, Sue Scott in absentia. And I guess at this point, I'll just say, hey, I'm still Bjorn Leutstad.
I guess I'm still Fudd Klugger.
Right. And this is still Kat.
And Don is still Don.
Don is over there somewhere going, yeah, that was an easy one. So,
yes.
Thank you so much. Thanks again, Tim. Outstanding.
Thank you.
We'll see you all again real soon. Thank you so much.
I'm starting to get cabin fever. Crazy, I need to escape back up north. I know the summer months are disappearing. I need to hear the waves hitting the shore. Worry, you bet your bottom I'm worried. Wondering when will our drought go away. Crazy, I desperately have cabin fever. I'm missing my fishing, so I can't help but wishing for some downtime at the cabin with you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.